But you know, God spoke to me for this morning, and I will share it more deeper at another time. But the thing is this, there's a man in the New Testament who we know nothing about, much at all. His name was Zechariah. And he, the Bible says, had lived with his wife a blameless and holy life. And he was part of the priesthood that was allowed to go into the temple and to clean it, the altars, the candles, and most especially one of them would be able to stand at the altar of incense. Actually, you could put that screen up, it might help. And there was this man, Zechariah, and we don't know a lot about it, but that's the holy place. And he walked into that by a series of amazing events. It's not really taken up much in an explanation of it in the Bible. But what you need to know is two things were happening in Zechariah's life. One was he had a great pain in his life that him and Elizabeth had never had a child. And now they were past that point of having a child naturally, rationally. Secondly, he had been a priest doing this service in their turn for many years. But on one particular day, in the order of how they choose who's going to clean up the altar of incense, who's going to kill the lamb for sacrifice, who's going to make sure everything's ready at the altar. And they had to take a lottery, because by the time of Jesus, there were 20,000 priests who did this service. You'll read about it in 1 Chronicles 23, 24. And so he had this kind of pain in his life. He hadn't got a son. And I'm only surmising this, but when you've gone through the lottery at your time of serving in the temple, the only one real position that means anything is the one who can put the incense on the altar. But there was always three. And the lottery, up till that point, had never fallen on Zechariah. And out of 20,000, what was the chances of that? But here's the thing. He was a righteous and a holy man. You know, God spoke to me when I was preparing this, and he said, you need to tell the church to stop rubbishing the word religion. I said, why is that, Lord? He said, because we often use religion to mean dead religion. And he pointed me to James chapter 1, where James says there is a pure religion. That means that even though things aren't easy in your life, you keep on doing what's right. You keep on believing God when he hasn't given you a son. You keep on living holy. You don't throw it out. You don't say, what's the point of this? And he'd come numerous times to that lottery, and I guess he thought, well, because sometimes we can be like this. It'll never be me that does the incense. I've done the other one. I've done that one. I've never been called to do that one. But at that particular time, they say, as they take the lottery for who's going to do it, they say, oh, so-and-so for this, so-and-so for that. And the one today who will do the altar is Zechariah. Out of 20,000, God was about to do something in a man that he'd thought God had forgotten him. Ever felt like that? Thought God had forgotten him. And so, I'd love to take you through. It's beautiful stuff to study Jewish history around the tabernacle. But anyway, what happens basically is this. As quick as I can tell you. A crowd meets before dawn and they all start to wait for the morning sacrifice and for the altar to be clean and the incense to be put upon it. And then the crowd gathers and then the three priests walk into the temple and they go into the holy place. The one who is in the middle is allowed to bang a gong to say, I'm now going in. And they go in, and the two others, they clean out the altar of incense, and they make sure the blood sprinkled on the table of shewbread and all those things, if you look at the tabernacle in the Bible. And then those two walk out. And when they walk out, all the crowd that's waiting know there's only one man in there. And he won't be in there very long because he only has to pray for two things. He has to pray that God will bless Israel. And he has to pray that Messiah will come. But you know, that day, eyes closed, thinking, well, I've waited for this for a long time. I wonder what's going to happen. Is anything going to happen? And he opens his eyes, and this side there's the lampstand, this side there's the table of shewbread. But right there in the middle, by the altar of incense, suddenly an angel appears. And the angel doesn't seem to say anything that's relevant to the context, because he says, God has heard your prayer, and you will have a son. I want to tell you this morning, as we go into 2020, God is going to keep his word. Amen. If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. Amen? Amen. Because he didn't expect it, and he was carrying this kind of... But you know what? Even though, yeah, he said, how do I know this is going to happen? I love what Gabriel says. Gabriel says, I stand in the presence of God. I mean, can you just think about that for a second? This is someone who's come straight from the God who created the universe. And he says, if you knew where I'd come from, if you know that there is no unbelief in heaven, there's only faith in heaven, there's only the complete will of God, only the word of God gets done in heaven. And he sent me to tell you that even though you weren't praying about it, I've heard your prayers for 30-odd years, and I'm going to answer your prayers. Anybody here this morning got prayers that have been praying a long time? Stick your hand up right now. Come on, stick your hand up. Believe God. Amen. It can be next year. Amen? Because in your ordinary life, if you choose to live a religion that is pure, that's not because it's easy. Not because, you know, it gets your turn served or Jesus is some kind of slot machine for your needs. This is because you know the greatest thing in your life is knowing God through Jesus Christ. And because you know God, you choose to live in a way that is not out to profit from it, but because it's the right way to live. And God loves people who love righteousness. Yeah? God loves people who, no matter what their circumstances and pains, who still choose to serve him. So he didn't go to the chief priests and say, hey, listen, I've had enough of this. I don't want to be this anymore. As some priests did in the Old Testament. No, he said, no, this is what I'm supposed to do. And even though it's not hard, I'm still going to be there. How's that translate to us? I'm still going to believe God. I'm still going to be in church. I'm still going to be in prayer. I'm still going to be in faith. Yeah? Even though sometimes I might slip. But God says, you're going to have a son. You see, God decided to let him know that there was a big plan that was about to happen after 400 years of silence. That they were going to have a son that would be the herald for the Messiah to come. And they thought God wasn't going to do anything. But God said, I am. Because I've got a bigger picture that I'm also going to fulfill. Can I end with a story today? Because I want you to believe that your life can be part of a bigger picture that God wants to fulfill. My friend who died last year, Menzie Oban from Jamaica, came over on the Windrush with his mother in the 1950s. Lived as a teenager in London, got a little job as an apprentice. Gave his life to Jesus in a gospel meeting. When he got to about 18, 19, no, a bit older, 21, 22, sorry, God said to him, go back to Jamaica. He said, I've only got £14. How can I get back? God said, go back to Jamaica. And within a couple of weeks, somebody had bought his ticket to go back to Jamaica. And he ended up in Montego Bay. And he said, now where do I go, God? And God says, go up Flowers Hill. So he went up Flowers Hill. Barbara's been up Flowers Hill. And he said, now where? He said, see that house there? Go and knock on the door. So he went to this house and he knocked on the door. And the man opened the door and he said, sir, I don't know why, but I've come from England and God has directed me to your house. I don't know why. I don't know what. Is there a need in this house? And the man said, my wife's dying of cancer. He said, can I pray for her? And he went in and he prayed for the wife. God instantaneously healed her. Menzie didn't know this, but God had a bigger plan. The man whose wife he prayed for was one of the richest men in Montego Bay. He said, you don't have to look for anywhere to live, my man. You can stay with us. So Menzie put his bag down and stayed with them. A few weeks later, the man came to him and he said, I've got 5 houses. He said, and I was last night asleep and I had a dream. And he said, I believe it was God. He told me to give you this house. We've stayed in that house many times. A big house. Out of that, Menzie began to serve the Lord. A school, I don't know how many 100 kids go to this school now. Underprivileged children. Built a church. Spread out. And at his funeral last year, people from all over Jamaica and America, politicians and whatever, came to say, we're so glad this man came. You see, you never know what God can do. Yeah? Zechariah just thought, well, I'm doing what I'm doing. Then something began to, I've never had that happen before. I'm the man to offer the incense. I want to tell you, friends, I believe from the day I got saved, God has planned every minute of my life. And he's got a plan for every part of your life. Doesn't matter how much you've messed up. Doesn't matter how it's gone wrong. Doesn't matter if you've failed and not had faith like Zechariah did. You notice he said at first, I can't see how this can happen. But the next time he spoke, right, he actually said his name is John. See, he didn't get it wrong twice. Second time round, he said, I'm saying what God says. I want your confession to be different in 2020. Not what God didn't do, but what God can do. Yes. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I just want to say to you, I'm praying for people here today. I'm praying for lots of others who are going to come in here. That their life, which seems quite ordinary, God's about to invade it. Because he loves you. Because he does have a plan. And he wants you to live the way he planned you to live. So you can find all that he has for you. I'm just going to ask you this morning. I'm going to bow in prayer. I'm going to close right now. Didn't have another song, Emma, sorry. Sorry to keep you standing, but you did a good job. I'd just like you to bow your head with me and just think for a moment. Maybe you've had a bit of a lifestyle where things haven't gone right. They never had a child, thought God had given up. I want to tell you, God's not given up on you. But he wants you to live a righteous life. You can only become righteous when you put your trust in the one who is altogether righteous, Jesus Christ. But when you put your trust in him, he gives you his righteousness, enabling you then to become righteous because you want to please God. So if you want to go into 2020 with a different heart, say, God, I'm a bit like Zechariah, but I believe you've got something else for me. I believe something else is going to happen in my life. I believe you can do miracles. I believe you can do supernatural things. I believe you can transform me. I want to change. I want to be all you plan for me to be. Amen? Father, as people just assimilate this short word this morning, I pray right now for any, Lord, who need to respond to that. We'll close the meeting. But just come and let us chat and pray with you. Because I tell you, God wants you to go out of here this morning hearing testimonies of goodness of God, hearing testimonies that he's not forgotten you, that he's still got something for his glory to be accomplished in your life. Amen.